Hey, welcome everyone. Last session before the party. Yeah? Everyone's excited? No? Not really? Gosh, it's going to be a tough audience. Come on, guys. You've got to be excited. There's a party coming. Free beer. Who's playing tonight? Shapeshifter. Really good band. So I'm sure you guys are going to have a great time. Now, look, my name's Rob Hawthorne, and you are in this session, Boom! Compelling Visualizations with SQL Server. Or maybe not so compelling, because I'm not particularly a graphic artist, so we'll do the best that we can. So for the next hour, you guys are going to hear me drone on with my dad jokes, or granddad jokes, as the case may be now. And at the end of the session, somebody's going to take away this drone, which has, believe it or not, an HD camera in it. So I think our marketing guy was having a bit of fun getting a drone for me to stand here and mutter on for a little while. Anyway, like, is it a little agenda for you? We always put an agenda slide up, helps fill the slide deck up, makes everybody feel like that we've actually got some topics that we're going to talk about. But what I really want to do is I want to show you guys the capabilities that are available to you. But I thought, well, first of all, you can do an introduction of myself. My name is, as you can see, Rob Hawthorne. I am the head of Microsoft Solutions and Architecture, so I've got a really fancy title. I have been working with data and data warehouses since 1988. I wrote a book many years ago, which has just disappeared off the screen very quickly. Let's go back again so you can see that. As you can see, it's SQL Server 2000, which released in January the 10th, 2001. I still get royalty checks today. The checks cost me more to bank than they're worth, but I still get them. Once upon a time, I even lectured at Vic Uni to deliver info 222, yeah, systems analysis and design. So that was a bit of fun, something a bit different. And a couple of years ago, that's me there, winning my fight for IT heavy hitters, where I dropped 15 kilos. Unfortunately, I've put on 18 now, but you know. So if any of you want a real challenge, IT Heavy Hitters is actually also going to be run in Auckland and Wellington this year. And it will be the toughest physical challenge you have ever done, but it is really worthwhile. It's all about suicide prevention and doing the right thing. So it's a fantastic event. Right, what I want to do is cover a little brief history of data and data visualization, or data visualization as the case may be. Would you believe that prior to the 17th century, we were doing data visualization? Hard to believe, but we were. And during that time, it was mainly diagrams of celestial bodies. Try saying that after a couple of whiskies. And it was mainly around maps for navigation and exploration. Then in the 1600s, to 1699, we had small multiples of data being representative changing over time. So we're talking, 400 years ago. You know, this is pretty incredible, right? So I think our advancements in technology have actually been really slow, if you think about it like that. So on the right there, you can see a chart which is one of these showing changes of data occurring over time. Then we got into map markers, which were representing geographical positions on a map. Kind of cool. And then came a guy called William Playfair. Now, if you want to read somebody who's got a really, really interesting background, it is this guy. So William was a bit of a scoundrel. He blackmailed a lord. He sold land in America to the French and had to actually leave France because he sold them land that he didn't actually own. But he was also the inventor of the pie chart, the bar chart, and the line graphs that we know and love today. So that's one of his ones up there that he invented. So he, whilst his background wasn't in statistical analysis, he actually was an engineer, so drawing plans for the steam engine, he somehow figured out to actually represent data visually. Now, this was not accepted at the time. If you did not provide detailed analysis of charts and graphs, with tables and written descriptive text, this was thrown out as just, you know, hearsay or child's drawings or not really particularly relevant. Then in the 1850s to 1899, our first 3D surface plot chart started to appear. See that shape there? That's not the pointer, that's my hand. It's got the nerves running through, okay? Should have had a couple of whiskeys first, but never mind. So the 3D surface plots came through in that time period, and this one's actually showing the population density in Sweden over the over a number of years. But can you imagine how many hours it took to draw that plot? You know, so it's pretty incredible that they are available, and that these people were actually on the bounds of showing new visualizations and data, and how to express themselves. Now, in the 1900s, that's when visualization of information began to become accepted. People actually went, oh, this is relevant because of the amount of information being collected. What happened in the US, they started to do censuses. And the first census they did, it took them 8 years to collect the data, and the census was run every 10 years. And they knew by the time they went to do the next census that it would actually take them 11 years to collect the data. So they had to invent a machine to do the collection of data, and so therefore representation of information in a graphical format made sense. What about in the Microsoft world? Well, in 1990, we got Excel 3D charts. So that's a little while after 1850 and 1899, right? I don't know what happened to the IT industry, why it took so long to take off, but there we go. I don't know if you guys remember the Digital Dashboard Starter Kit. Does anyone remember that? No? Digital Dashboard? Oh, one. We got one person in the room who does, yeah. They were pretty average, but it was a little starter kit to sort of show how to visualize data on a dashboard. And then 2004, we got Reporting Services version 1. Who goes back that far? Quite a few of you. Awesome. And later on, we got ProClarity, which became Performance Point Server. So ProClarity was a pretty cool tool, right? You had the decomposition tree, which I think was their biggest capability that they had. And now we have Power BI for, well, it's one of the visualizations tools. Of course, we've got reporting services, and Excel's had a whole pile of enhancements and changes, etc. So it's all been fairly groundbreaking stuff. But there are challenges. Representing data is very difficult to make sure that the audience actually understands what you're doing. So that's one of the biggest things, is understanding. What we've got to do is produce visualizations that aid in understanding, not just try and impress with the way that they're done, okay? Now, having said that, I'm going to show you a whole pile of impressive visualization techniques. So, additionally, a lot of times as we produce generic reporting as well, we don't target it for the audience that we're actually trying to deliver it to. It's the same as our documentation when we're developing solutions, is we don't tend to target them for the audience that we're trying to deliver to. So we write these generic documents that we think is going to cover everything, and then the audience reads it and goes, I don't understand it, it doesn't mean anything to me. So if you write reports or documentation or anything, know your audience, target your documentation for that. The volume of data, you know, trying to map or trying to represent graphically data on a chart where you've got thousands and thousands of lines without going and building hierarchies or aggregations on that data or some way of being able to see that makes it very, very difficult to represent that clearly. So if you've got for example, a pie chart, and I know Stephen Few hates pie charts, but if you've got a pie chart with thousands of lines on it, sometimes it's better to take those thousands of lines, aggregate them up into an other column, and allow people to drill down into them to actually start to see the detail behind those. The other thing that we have real big challenges with now is the data types. We get a lot of textual information, lots and lots of data sets have very rich textual information. Financial systems on invoices have little notes that get pinned to them, and trying to search that or represent that information can be difficult. Another system that's quite common for having textual information is health and safety, right? An incident's occurred, we have to record what happened about the incident, so it's a lot of written text. Now then we get into the habit of using graphics for the sake of graphics, so we're not telling a story. We just putting stuff on a page, and we're just going, right, okay, this looks like a cool graphic, we'll stick that on there. And so what happens sometimes is that we end up with graphics that we think represent what we're trying to show, so we might use a line chart instead of a bar chart to show comparisons side by side. So, here's some tips for you. Take pride in what you do, don't be sloppy. Okay, when you're producing, now unfortunately in demos we do tend to be sloppy because we're producing them really quickly. But for you guys, when you've got time and you've got the chance to spend the time with it, this is your work that you're putting out there. So make sure that your work is really good quality, of high quality, the best that you can do. Bring in sane focus. So what we mean by that is keep it really focused on what you're trying to produce as the message. Okay, don't go and try and add additional data sets to a particular chart just to show capability. Keep it really focused on what the message you're trying to get across. Remember that dashboards and graphs and charts are meant to be give you a guide at a glance. So I'm supposed to look at that and go, yep, I get it, I understand it. I'm not supposed to have to sit there and analyze it for 2 or 3 minutes. Things like eliminating distractions, again, similar sort of thing. So you get these very, very busy reports with lots of bits and pieces on them. I should have probably put some examples out there for you. But you get these very busy reports that have, like shopping carts on them and numbers inside shopping carts and bits and pieces like that. So lots of infographics are common these days. Around consolidating data, very, very similar concept of what I said before, where we aggregate the data to a relevant level. And ditch the text, visualize the story. So where we can, let's get rid of the text. If you download the slide deck, there's a whole pile of links inside the slide deck for bits and pieces of where you can get some more information. Okay. So let's look at what's new in the SQL Server 2016 reporting services stack, because there's some quite new little bits and pieces that have popped up. So I'm assuming most of you guys have seen the new web portal, right? Yeah? It's much better than the old portal. And good news is it's customizable. Well, it is in the Enterprise edition. Standard edition, it is as it is, but in Enterprise you can customize it. You can also get the mobile report publisher, which was a acquisition of a company called DataZen. Did anyone use DataZen prior to the Microsoft acquisition? Oh, a few. Okay. Has it changed much? I never used it prior to that. Yeah. Right, okay. Of course, we've got SharePoint 2013 and 2016 integration. It wouldn't be a Microsoft reporting product if it didn't integrate with SharePoint, right? And it now renders in HTML5, meaning that it's more available on more devices. I was thinking about this a little while ago, actually. I've presented at TechEd since 2002, so that's the last 14 years. Jeez, I'm getting long in the tooth. And it must have been about 7 years ago that I did a 2008 R2 reporting services presentation. Now, that was on the Friday morning at 9 a.m., and there was standing room only. I couldn't believe it, you know. Straight after the party, there's standing room only inside there. And I realized that nothing has really changed in reporting services prior to 2008 R2 through to now. So, like in the last release in 2014, the only change to reporting services was to make it run in Chrome. Now we've got all these new capabilities, right? So now the platform's there and it's being extended upon all the time. We've got a couple of new chart types. So only really two new chart types, tree maps and sunbursts. Tree maps, otherwise known as heat maps. We also have iframe report embedding. Now this is quite cool in a lot of ways, because what you can now do is embed the content of your report inside a web page without having to have the entire report with all the other stuff around the outside. So the old days, we used to have report parts, and we'd put a report part there, and we'd still have all the other noise sitting inside that report part. By being able to embed it in an iframe, we get rid of all of that. We can export to PowerPoint. Hooray! Who would have thought that would have been a requirement? And print using PDF, not an ActiveX. So it turns the document into a PDF to print it. So no more ugly ActiveX controls, which cause problems over the internet. Report Builder has had a bit of a facelift. So it's got more of an Office 2016 sort of look than the old one. And you can customize parameters. Now, believe it or not, 2016 released on the 1st of June. And there's already two cumulative updates, one and two, which have been released. That's how fast the cadence cycle is now. Okay, the SQL Server engineering team is just developing stuff at a massive rate. I strongly suggest that if you're putting reporting services into your environment, that you patch it to CU2. There's a whole pile of additional fixes which have come in for helping rendering and making things go faster. Right, now we get to the fun stuff. I'll let that machine go silent.
we wait for that to switch over. You guys can all see that? Yep. Okay. Let's get rid of that. Go away. Thank you. Right, so first of all, we've got a new interface, as most of you have seen already. It's a much cleaner, easier to navigate interface than previously we had before, which means that we can actually get contextual information quite quickly. One of the cool new features in it that I really like, and unless somebody can tell me I'm wrong, if we go into the data sources, we can actually begin to see which items are dependent on that particular data source. So you can see that I've got a couple of reports which are dependent on it. So I know that if I go and drop that data source or I modify that data source, that's going to have a downstream effect on items. So that to me is a big step forwards. I know it seems like a minor thing, but it's really relevant when you're having that metadata information being given to you easily. Previously you could do that, but you had to write queries against the reporting services database engine. So a very nice new interface. So where are we going to start? Let's start with our mobile report components. And what we're going to do is we are going to go and build ourselves a new query. So I've got some incident counts here, and I'm limiting this to 1 day. 1 month. And come here. Right, okay. So mobile reports require a shared data set to get up and running. So we're going to create ourselves a new data set called incident count. And paste the query in there. Now what I found was, is that if I go into attempt to deploy this right now, if you are missing an update, that one succeeded. Isn't that a surprise? Previously, when I went to deploy this, I had to go and add a little name attribute to the RSD file underneath the hood. So I must have actually patched the machine slightly before. So there we go. So if we can now look inside our data sets, we should have seen it there. Come here. Data sets incident count, right. No, not report server. There you go. For some reason, it didn't refresh straight away. We can now go and create ourselves a new mobile report. And it'll launch. So when you first do this, you have to actually go and launch a, go to an external website and download a little control to run. So what we might have is we've got all these different little visualizations available to us. So we're going to use a good old standard bar chart. And we can go and select the size of that bar chart. And then we can go and select the data underneath. So let's go and add some data. We're going to get it from our report server. There we go. See if we can make that full screen. There we go. That might help a little bit. And we're going to switch this. Oh, so we've got a metric there. And we want to sum that. There we go. And we can get a preview of our incident count over a period of time for ourselves, right? It's a really trivial example, but you can see how quickly it is to actually go and build these visualizations, right? And this, unfortunately, I haven't got it set up, but this would actually render on my mobile phone. So it's all HTML5 compatible, and it's just there out of the box for you. Enterprise only, though, okay? So just be aware. Okie dokie. Sorry, get me back to my cheat sheet. Right. So, again, click on the wrong thing. Right. One of the other new things is the ability to move parameters around. So you can place the parameters now in a report where you want them to be. So previously, reporting services just put the parameter wherever it wanted to. You can now choose to drag your parameters around to wherever you want them to be. So I can have them here, or I can drop month down to this piece. And if I go and preview that now, I can see how my parameters will shift around on the screen in regards to where I want them placed. Okay, so this is really good in big reports where you've got lots and lots of parameters. Also, where you want the ordering of the parameters to make sense. Because, you know, with cascading parameters, you don't want them to cascade in the wrong direction, right? So you don't want the right-hand side one to be the one that you have to select first. Right. As I said, we've got these lovely new tree maps. Maybe we don't. Hello. Okay, for some reason that took a little while, but there we go. So we've got the ability to create tree maps. So this one's just an aggregation of the incidents by the count that we've got on there, and we can start adding additional categories to it or expanding it out into all sorts of different ways, right? So the nice thing about the tree maps is that they're a great way to be able to visualize information really, really quickly for where hotspots are or issues that are occurring for you. Okay, so one of the other things is the ability to embed reports. So if I run this command here in my browser, I'm going to create a new one, paste that in there, my report runs and I get all my header information going on here with the incident count in it. If I go and add this one little tag to the end, it drops out all that other capability, right? So you can make these, you can actually have it so it just takes the chart as well and puts that into a web page for you. We can have it so it takes the entire report with all that other capability out of it. Because it's HTML5, it's going to render on a lot more devices. So this is a great way of being able to get information out to external websites for third parties, etc. Any questions so far? Yeah? Sorry, what was that? Because it's an, I don't know about embedded. Does anyone know if embedded is just an enterprise feature? I don't think it is. Because if it's an enterprise, there's no licensing implications because you have to license per core. So that licenses the entire machine and the number of users. But if it's standard edition and you license per cow, yes, there could potentially be a licensing implication. That's a good question. Is that drone worthy though? Does anyone think that's a drone worthy question? I know you do. Okie dokie. Right, so what else have we got on the cards here? Just put those into a nice little iframe and away you go. Oh, yeah, sorry. Can you use JavaScript and do drill downs? No, I don't think you can. You just have to use the normal drill down capability inside reporting services. I wonder if your web page, if you'd put it on the outside of your web page, whether you could do something there, but it's I don't think it's a reporting services capability. Pat, do you know me? No. Right. Okay, so what are some of the other new funky things that Microsoft have released? Do you know you can get integration between Power BI and reporting services now? Yeah? Well, gosh, you've got to take away all my fun. Hey, here I was thinking, oh, I've got all this new stuff for you. I've got to stop these other guys from showing this, right? So I've got this dashboard in Power BI. So I've got these two infographics here. So I've got a count of injury showing where injuries are occurring and a nice little bar chart showing the type of injuries that we're getting. I can quite easily go into my report. In fact, let's just get rid of the embedded equals true, and we'll do it on here. And it's simply a case of me clicking on this. Come on, why is this not rendering properly? There we go. And I can go and pin that to my health and safety one, set my frequency of updates, hit pin. Now, if I run myself back in here, there's our little tree map. Nice and easy, right? So this integration is getting really, really tight, and it's meaning that you can actually start to pull together different pieces of information around your organization to consolidate it, to get a real view of what's going on. You can have these interact so that when you click on them, they'll actually go and run the report for you and give you the detail that's underneath the hood. You don't filter on the dashboards in Power BI. I don't think you can. Yes. No, not on this particular. Oh, hang on. No, it's going to the actual underlying report. Yeah, it's going to the Power BI report that sits underneath the hood. Is that a drone-worthy question? No. Oh, you guys are tough. that'll be professional Power BI. Yeah, so as soon as you publish content that's not, as soon as you publish content that's from your internal organization to Power BI, it becomes a visual that needs a license. If you don't have a license, all it does is it shows you a little blank square with a cross in it. Yes. Okay. Yeah, this is a really good question, and it's a conversation I had with a guy called Donnie Rose, who is the report server manager or reporting services manager from MS. So when I had a chat with him 2 years ago, he was going, well, everything's heading to Power BI. Why would we need to invest in reporting services? So you think about a typical organization. You've got financial reports. They must be structured in a certain format. Right, you've got board reporting, which must be, well, maybe not board reporting, but you know, you've got head of department reporting. It's got to be printable, it's got to be picture perfect or pixel perfect, and it's got to be in the right format. You cannot do that in Power BI yet. Okay, you can't get it 100% the same as a reporting services report. Reporting services has a lot more capability for what Microsoft are now deeming paginated reports. I used to call them corporate reports, but they're calling them paginated reports. And so, of course, you can also get a lot more information on the report where you have 5 or 6 pages, a lot more detail, the ability to drill down, which is actually quite difficult to do in Power BI effectively. You can do it, but it's... So there is a use for both scenarios, okay? There is a really strong use case for using reporting services for delivering standardized, normal, business-based reporting, and Power BI for delivering the visualizations and components, and that's why they're tying them together so that you've got the seamless entry point so you can go and get all the information inside your organization. Sort of what we did in SharePoint a few years ago with Performance Point and reporting services. Similar sort of concept. Good question. Is that a drone-worthy question? Yeah. You're going to give it away that soon. Wow. Sorry, there's another question down the back. Yeah. Yes. So when you click on that that graphic, because effectively what it does is it takes a graphic and sticks it into Power BI. When you click on that, that'll run the report. So if there's any other linked reports, you'll see them underneath. Remember, you're publishing a component of the report, not the entire report. Yes?
Is there any consideration for upgrading reporting services from
Is there any?
Any considerations?
Anything you have to be aware of? Yeah, I'd say your biggest consideration, like the code upgrades quite seamlessly. It's actually not terribly hard to upgrade the actual RDL files. They upgrade nicely. Your biggest consideration, though, is are all those reports actually required? So that's the thing that I find with most of our customers is that they'll have, I don't know, 500 or 600 reports. They want us to do an upgrade. You go, well, you got 500 or 600 reports. Are they actually all being used? You know, so it's actually spending the time and finding out who's using them and the relevance they are to the business. But yeah, the actual code itself is a relatively painless migration.
Reporting services reports on Power BI dashboard.
Yes. No. No, it's a one-way publish at the moment, unfortunately. But there might be something coming. Right. Okay, I wanted to show... we're going well for time. So, I wanted to show you guys something a little bit funky. So, everyone looks at reporting services like a pretty much a standard reporting component. But I did some searching around the web, and I found a very clever chap, whose link is in the page again, where you can actually go and create your own tag cloud in reporting services. So it's kind of cool. It's a little bit funky. I thought I'd show it to you guys. So what it requires is basically putting in a snippet of code, which is, by the way, in the slide deck. If you follow the link, the only thing wrong in his published version that he has is that in here he has a colon instead of an equal sign for the font size. So basically we put that little snippet of code in there. We've got a matrix, and we drag our dataset items into the matrix. So this dataset item is just a hard-coded query which just unions together all these capabilities, right? So you might do this over a table that's got a whole pile of textual information inside it for you. So we just get a count and the keyword that we care about. Then inside here, we've got a little expression that goes off and calls our get font size. And we've got another little expression in this one that goes off and builds an HTML tag. Finally, we have an expression in here that calls our display HTML. So if you look at the code snippet that we have, there's three little functions inside there for doing this. And the one little tricky piece, although not really tricky, but the one little piece that you can't forget is that you have to turn this placeholder into HTML. Because if you don't, it doesn't render. It just gives you the actual code base that you've got running underneath. And then when we run this, nothing happens. Demos, eh? Jeez, come on. Did I actually click on that? No, I didn't. So there we go. We've got our own little tag cloud with different font sizes based on the amount of times that actually pops up. That little matrix that I had, all I did was I set the border properties of that to none and set all the text to white so you could hide it all, okay? So you can go and create your own sort of custom visualizations inside SSRS. It's not as easy as Power BI. So things in Power BI that represent the same sort of capability is we can go and download all these custom visualizations from the Visuals Gallery. And look, we've got things like infographic designers and stock charts and... Have most of you guys seen these? Yeah? You had a good play with them? There's some really good ones in here. But the most relevant one, of course, is this one called the Word Cloud, which allows us to then go and build ourselves... Oh, sorry, I need to import it in. So let's import that visual in. Luckily, that said successfully. And if I can put incident details in there and turn that into Word Cloud... Make that a bit bigger so you guys can see it. It goes and finds all the words and how often they've occurred, and we can see we're getting a lot of noise in there, like and to, etc. So we can go and turn those off. So we can use stop words, and we can set the default one on, and we can go and get rid of a whole pile of words that we don't care about. You can go and you can also go in here and put a common delimited list of words that you want to hide and get rid of. So if you have I don't know, something like a round or customer you want to get rid of, you can do that as well. The other cool thing about this little chart or this visual that somebody's created is that it's interactive. So if you click on it and you have other visuals on the page saying around, you'll actually filter the data based on that as well. The first version didn't have that in it. The first version was just a representation of the information that it had. Yeah.
Time to extend the tooltip for as much as you like.
Yeah, that sounds like a really good idea. So what you can do is there's a website called connect.microsoft.com, and you can go and raise items in Connect to have the product team review and decide if they're going to do something about it. Okay, so Connect is a really good avenue of providing feedback to MS. Sorry, what was that?
I have done this probably 4 years before, actually, in 2012.
Oh, okay.
And interesting part is that if you run it on Internet Explorer, it disappears after 5 seconds.
Yes.
But if you run in Chrome,
yes.
It stays for a while, actually. It stays as much as you want it, so that's really interesting.
Ah.
Yes, it's surprising, actually.
Yeah, there's... Yeah, that's probably your only option at the moment, is you'd have to write some custom code to actually extend that timeout period. It would be an interesting challenge.
So it looks like with 46, you can add in items and stuff in the toolbox, drop-down lists and stuff, is that right?
I don't believe so. If we go to the toolbox, we text box lines, etc. You can add hyperlinks, which effectively would be a similar sort of concept, right? Or drill through capabilities and bits and pieces like that. Can you add a custom URL to Power BI? I thought you could. Oh, a button? No. No, it's really made more for the graphics and creating the linkages between the objects that are on the page. Man, I'm getting some good questions. This is going to be hard to give this drone away. Not really at the moment. So there are some we can flick back to the slides. Sorry. Number 5. There you go. And I'll just advance through slightly. So that's a bottom link that I've given you there, the reporting and visualization roadmap. Take a look at that. So the journey that Microsoft's going on at the moment is to bring this together in a lot more consolidated fashion. And one of those first steps is that first link that I've got at the top there. Does anyone know what that might be? It was an announcement that came out yesterday. Go. I know you know. Correct. This is the technical preview of on-premise Power BI. So you will publish your Power BI component into your reporting services instance. You have to download a component and install it on your reporting services, but you'll be able to publish Power BI content internally. So that makes a big difference for a lot of organizations, right? They've been worried about data going outside their organization, etc. So this is one of the first steps of bringing these together. As well as what's also coming on the roadmap is consolidation of the reporting creation tools. So at the moment, you've got Power BI, you've got Mobile Report Developer in DataZen, and you've also got Report Builder. So you've got three separate tools for creating content. So over time, and I've got no idea what the time frame is, sorry guys, but over time you'll start to see those consolidate down as well. Okay, so we're not going to end up with three different, well, I'm hoping we're not going to end up with three different tools for creating content. We'll end up with one and we'll choose the content type we want to publish to. The other thing that's come out, which I think is actually really exciting, and it means our BI roadmap is really starting to take off as a PaaS as a service, is SQL Server Analysis Services as a platform as a service. Now, at the moment, it only supports tabular model, but that may change. We don't know. But that actually means that not only have we got SQL Data Warehouse, or Azure Data Factory for loading the data, SQL Data Warehouse for storing it and maintaining it, we can put tabular models over the top, and then Power BI for visualizations. We don't have reporting services deployed as a platform as a service at this stage, but that may be coming as well. It was done in the original Azure, wasn't it, Pat? Yeah, but they seem to drop it for some reason. I'm not sure why. Cost or maybe lack of uptake or something like that. So we may see that capability come. If that's the case, suddenly our data warehouses become viable to keep up inside the cloud, right? And then we scale and we pay for what we use rather than having to go and put these massively expensive pieces of kit inside an organization to store a bit of data. Because that's the problem with data warehouses, right? They're only busy when they're loading data. That's really the only time they're busy. When they're reporting from, and you're reporting from a cube or well-written queries, and I do say well-written queries, the engine doesn't really do a lot of work. So you're not actually utilizing the hardware and the capability that you're investing in. Yeah. Yes. Oh, I see what you mean. There is a tool that's up on, Codeplex. There's a tool up on Codeplex for deploying reports across environments. It's developed by somebody inside Microsoft. It's not an official Microsoft product, okay, but it is a tool that you can use for deploying across environments, because that is, you're right, it's a bit of a pain. You can, in Visual Studio, of course, go in and right-click and change where you're deploying to and deploy into test and dev and prod and stuff like that, but it is a bit of a pain at the moment. Right. Okay. Yeah, there has been some changes to subscriptions. I'm a little bit lost on what the changes were. Sorry? Oh, enable and disable. Okay. Okay. Right. Where we at? Oh, look, I'm going to let you guys be able to finish nice and early. How about that? Which means we got 20 minutes to give this drone away. So you're going to sit there quietly while we decide what we're going to do. Okay. Look, this really is just to get you guys an overview of what of the capabilities that are available to you, so you can how you can pin these things together to start producing enterprise-level content, not just reports to deliver an answer. Right, so. Yes. Yes. Not at this stage, no. No, yeah. I don't see that being on the roadmap anytime soon, right? Yes, there's an RDL format, and you could go and query the RDL format and generate mobile reports based on that, et cetera, but, you know, you are a little bit hamstrung. So Power BI will render on mobiles, but not as well as DataZen does. DataZen's targeted for rendering on mobiles. As you can see with that grid, it's really simple to go and put it on there, say what size it is, drag it around, that sort of side of things. Whereas Power BI is more designed for a traditional screen where you can see it all. You can download the Power BI component to render stuff, but it's still not as good as DataZen. I'm sure over time we're going to see a blending of those capabilities as well. Yes, there is. Yeah. Yeah, so I've got the Power BI on my phone somewhere, so. This is really good. I like the fact that you guys ask questions. Now, it's not just because of the drone, right? It's because you're actually interested in what I'm saying. Yeah? And all of you are going to give me a 4 or, yeah, we don't get a drone. Give us a drone. Sorry, did you have a question?
Yeah. So the release that was yesterday about Power BI and report services.
Yes. Yes.
We have the scenario inside. So does that mean that our data doesn't have to go out on the cloud and come back?
Correct. Yeah. So all your data is on site. Now, you can't download the technical preview component till Thursday of next week. So I'm assuming it's going to be Friday or something. Yeah. Okay. So, you know, look, it's and remember, it's a technical preview at the moment. So it's going to be, I wouldn't put it in production at this stage. Okay. But if you want to download it and use it in an environment that doesn't really matter very much, go ahead, try it out. Give feedback to Microsoft, okay? They just the way the organization's changed, it's incredible. You know, you give them feedback and you see stuff starting to flow through. Same with Power BI. If there's a feature you want to see, you guys know about the blog or the wiki page or whatever they call it on the Power BI side? Yeah, that actually stuff gets rated up and down on there, and you see it starting to flow through inside Power BI. They're on about a monthly cadence at the moment. That's how quick they're releasing. Yeah, mate? Yeah, so the data tools are more for devs, right? They're very accurate, particular. You can create templates, etc., those sorts of things. Report Builder is really for your business user who just wants to muck something up really quickly. What I'd encourage you to do is to, if you are going to release Report Builder out to your business users, is start creating data sets that they can consume. If they use the data sets that you've got there, you know the queries are well written, because that's going to hurt you otherwise, and you know that you can publish those data sets up into the report instance for them so that they can just consume those data sets and they don't have to worry about writing queries or connecting to particular servers or anything like that, okay? Yeah. Yeah, they're both supposed to use Bing Maps, but I have heard that you get different results using reporting services, like more accurate results. Yeah, so I'm not a mapping person, so I'm not the best person in the world to ask about it. Yeah, that's right. In Power BI, they've now got an Esri edition, haven't they? Yeah, so, yeah. There definitely is a lot of focus on visualization inside maps and stuff like that, so I don't know. It might get better. Yeah, mate? Okay. Okay, yeah. Get the feedback in for if they're causing problems on the maps. Yeah, okay. If you create KPIs in your
reporting services portal using the mobile reports,
oh, yes.
Can you embed that into paginated reports?
No, I don't think you can. I don't think there's any cross capability to embed the mobile report capability into reporting services. Not yet. It might be a feature that they quite like doing. The problem with reporting the challenge with reporting services is that it's a formal RDL file, so it's a structured content. Whereas with Power BI, it's effectively HTML5, and what you're doing is you're just embedding an image inside Power BI that links back to your report, okay? So yes, that image gets updated, but effectively that's what it is. All right, wow, man, this is awesome.
Just on embedding a SSRS into your Power BI dashboard.
Yes.
Does that mean that if you're not on the network, that you wouldn't be able to link back to
Yeah, correct. Yeah, unless you've got, unless you publish those reports via an external mechanism like a DMZ or something. SharePoint integrated mode. Now, yeah, that was an interesting thing. So last year, MS sort of indicated that SharePoint integrated mode wouldn't be a part of SQL 2016. But that's slightly changed. So I'm not sure why it changed. It very well could have been. Yeah, it very well might have been. I'm not sure why they said that it wasn't going to be available in integrated mode and then they sort of made the switch. I think the biggest problem was that if they said it wasn't going to be available in integrated mode, for years we've been going all roads lead to SharePoint and then all of a sudden we go all roads lead to SharePoint except BI. Right, and that might have been a real problem for them. So I think that was just getting the messaging right. Having said that, though, you can deploy into native mode and just use that embedded capability to then put that into SharePoint parts or iframes on the page and stuff like that. So that actually might be a better way for you to move forwards. Can you? I see what you're saying. Source control is a bit of a challenge for certain things at the moment. So DataZen Reports is one of them. Also, Azure Data Factory is all JSON script and all sitting up in the cloud. There's no real source control for it. So there are gaps in the standard build, deploy, release cycle. What I'd suggest you do is if you're building mobile reports, as you're building them in dev,
you deploy, then you're taking the same sort of mechanism to go into test and production, et cetera, and then just lock them down. So from a security perspective, have that so people can execute them, but they can't make changes to them, et cetera. Oh, sorry, I can't hear you. Yes. Right. Yeah, correct. Yeah. So Power BI is, you're quite right. It is a gap in Power BI at the moment, is that if you lose that .pbix file, sorry, that's it, you're done. So you can't export your Power BI published content out of there back to a .pbix file. You have to recreate from scratch, which is definitely a gap. It's been raised for VMS. It's on the Connect items. It's also on that wiki page. And I know they're trying to address it. They published a white paper a little while ago around management of Power BI content. So if you like, just flick me an email and I'll find that content for you and send it through. Yeah, it puts it in the database in the back. So.
My question was around the backend data.
Yes. So the official line is, and this is pretty much the same with any Microsoft product, you are not to query the databases. Okay? If you query the databases, that's at your own risk. Okay? If you make changes to the databases, that's at your own risk. You are an unsupported scenario. You are meant to use the web services to get that information. Okay? So just be warned that you might find you go to do something and it's not available to you anymore. Just, yeah, happens. So I would encourage you to think about whether you could get it to use the web services to be able to give you the same information. You're going to be more protected as you move through the versions, but I understand also is that, you know, as developers, we tend to just get stuff done really quickly, and the database is quite well structured and easy to find your way through, so yeah. Yes? Yeah, I'm sorry, I can't give you the answer on whether the endpoints have actually changed or not. It would be worth having a look in the SQL 2016 SSRS What's New, and then following along the four developers piece that's at the bottom there. Yes, sir. Yes. Correct. Just by putting that little embed equals true on the end of the URL string. And of course, remember, you can pass parameters on that URL as well, right? So you've been able to do that in reporting services for a very long period of time. So that means that if somebody clicks on a button, sorry, who was asking about buttons? It was down here somewhere, wasn't it? Yeah, so if someone clicks on a button, you can pass that parameter to that iframe and then have the report rendered dynamically based on whatever they're clicking on. So, you know, you'd have to build it yourself, but it is available to you that way. Yes, sir? Yes. So that's where you want to use cascading parameters. So if you've got a parameter list that's massive, think about how you can aggregate that list up with another parameter and then cascade that list. So, for example, if we just quickly flick back, maybe not so quickly. On the health and safety data, we've got a large amount of categories. Oh,
Oh, right. We got a lot here. We should probably go and create an aggregation to roll some of these things up into something else first so that we can have a cascading list. Remember, it's going to hurt your performance, your render performance, okay? So there's not only the execution time of the query underneath the hood, there's a rendering of the report itself. And the more content you've got that you're trying to show, the slower that report's going to run. Yes. Yeah, possibly. Right, okay, so I think it's time that we give the drone away. So I'm going to ask for a show of hands about whose questions we thought were the best. We had one around the licensing down here. Is he still here? No, he's gone. Okay, he's out. Righty-o. And this, sorry, you asked me the question around... There we go. Okay, I think that's a really good question. What do you guys think? Yeah? Yeah? Okay. Congratulations, sir. You have that. Don't forget the fours. 4, 4, 4, 4, 4. Enjoy the party, guys. I'll be there.